Earlier this year, we reported on serious concerns about the Church of England's internal disciplinary system. Clergy discipline measures, or CDMs, were introduced in 2003 to deal with complaints of serious misconduct. But the process, overseen by bishops, has been criticised because of the impact vexatious complaints can have on clergy's well-being and an apparent lack of scrutiny by the church. This priest was accused of bullying and financial mismanagement. His words are spoken by one of our team.
There were two moments which even now I find difficult to talk about. One was when I saw the archdeacon before the CDM actually arrived, and he offered me a year's pay if I resigned, and he said that was to encourage me to resign. The bishop suggested that they give me a settlement agreement and they would write a reference. It said that he hadn't actually read my defence, and my heart just sank as I thought, what kind of kangaroo court is this?
The Sheldon community, based in Devon, specialises in supporting people in Christian ministry through times of stress and breakdown. They commissioned independent research on the CDM process, carried out by Dr. Carl Senior at Aston University. It's based on testimonies from over 5,500 respondents, and some of the initial findings are now in. Dr. Sarah Horseman, the warden of Sheldon, told me what they found.
Well, it's all a bit of a mess, really. I think the CDM is failing both complainants and the clergy who are responding to those complaints. So there's role conflicts which damage the bishop-clergy relationships, which are actually quite important. There's zero accountability for the operational handling of the process, and the safeguards against weaponization are really inadequate.
And what about the individuals themselves going through the CDM process? Based on your study, on your research, what impact does that process have on individuals?
Well, we found that the harms really are disproportionate, because bearing in mind that two-thirds of the people are eventually found not guilty, these are people who are twice as likely to suffer clinical anxiety or depression, sometimes for many years. 40% felt suicidal while they were going through the process, and 60% said that it undermined their trust in bishops. Now, this is actually quite important, because when you're at risk of your home and your livelihood and your reputation, that's really a very significant psychobiological trauma. And people should only be exposed to that sort of risk if the severity of the allegation justifies it. And most times it simply doesn't.
And what was the response of Aston University, your colleagues there who you partnered with, the independent academic department there, to the kind of findings you uncovered here?
Well, rather similar. I mean, they were absolutely incredulous at some of the case histories that I shared at the point that we were putting the survey together, and especially shocked by this level of suicidal feelings. And Dr. Senior said that if the university was turning up findings like this, there'd be immediate sort of high-level mobilisation to make changes, because it's just not acceptable. But they're as delighted as we are that actually putting this empirical evidence together has finally led directly to the bishop's decision to replace the CDM. It's fantastic.
And in case of clergy going through the CDM system, Sarah, what do they tell you about the levels of support they have or have not received during the process?
I think that's one of the fundamental misunderstandings about the CDM, that you could somehow sort of tack on pastoral support and expect it to sort of somehow mitigate the effects of a process that is so fundamentally corrupted. So it's a bit like just trying to fix a leaky tap in a burning building, because the system just totally isolates the clergy just as they most need support. And, I mean, shockingly, only 20% felt they could trust the CDM to see justice done, and it's just a totally lost the confidence of the clergy for appropriate management of professional conduct standards.
Well, the Church of England is now reviewing the clergy discipline measures right now. Are you happy with the pace of that review and where it may be going?
Well, the Bishop at Lambeth says that the House of Bishops on the 8th of July, and I quote, committed unanimously to working towards replacing the measure. So I think they have got further than reviewing, and we hugely welcome that. What we don't really know is whether they've actually understood the scale of the problem or whether they're just hoping to get rid of a toxic brand now. And we think the essential next step is to publish a full scoping exercise so we really know what we're actually trying to do here. Is it about punishment, or is it about regulating professional conduct boundaries? How does it fit with other processes that also need review, and especially I would include safeguarding there? And also, it's essential that we engage in some sort of process of restorative justice, because there are many clergy who need and absolutely deserve, at the very least, an apology for what's happened. And really, if we skip that formal scoping and formal restorative justice, I'm very frightened now that we'll just get a tweaked and rebranded relaunch of a fundamentally flawed measure, and we'll just be out of the frying pan into the fire. And I'd really want to encourage any clergy who are listening to come and join SheldonHub.org, which is our online support forum, and really be part of the conversation for crafting a decent, wise replacement that's actually fit for 21st century ministry, because we desperately need it.
Dr. Sarah Horsman. Tim Thornton is the bishop at Lambeth and has been leading a review into the church's disciplinary process. I asked him if he agrees with Dr. Sarah Horsman that the CDM process is a mess.
I would say that obviously there is a balance to be drawn, and I hear what Sarah is saying. So my understanding of what I put before the House of Bishops was for us precisely to kind of reframe all of this in an understanding of professional standards. If Christian ministers don't profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I don't know what they are doing, and therefore we are professionals. And I think we can therefore learn from other professionals about the way they shape their standards, and they care for each other, and have codes of conduct in place, which don't just look at the very serious matters, but actually value each other and encourage each other, and find ways of being responsible and caring for each other, rather than just imposing discipline when things break down.
Sarah Horsman also pointed to the need for restorative justice, the importance of apologies, and when you consider that 40% of the respondents in the study say that they experience suicidal thoughts going through this process, do you think an apology would be appropriate?
Well, of course, each individual case would need to be looked at separately. There's not a question of apologising for all those involved. That would be not helpful, because each case is a very different matter. But I'm absolutely sure that some of the cases that have been brought to our attention do need real thought and care to be given to all the people involved. And it's very tragic indeed to hear, I've now in my role chairing this review group, I've been listening to many of the people who are involved in the Sheldon Hub, and some of the cases are very sad ones indeed. There are processes in place to try and give some sense of restorative justice where that's needed. But as I say, that would be for each individual case to be taken up rather than a general matter.
Well, I can understand the importance of individual cases, Bishop, but 40% of respondents experiencing suicidal thoughts, 60% of respondents saying the process undermined their trust in the senior clergy. That's a system that's failing, isn't it? Not just at the individual level. It's almost abusive. That's an abusive system, surely.
Well, I think I'd agree with you that it's showing signs that the system is failing, and that's why I put forward a paper where I said very clearly in my paper that I think it is time to replace the whole measure rather than just tinker with it, and that's what we're hopefully going to be doing through the processes. What we're also doing, even more quickly really, is to bring about changes that we can bring about under the existing measure, so we do try and respond to some of the proper concerns that are being raised with them.
And isn't part of the problem here that you have a process that is not appropriate for what can be vexatious or minor complaints, so there may be a disproportionate response in some areas?
That's absolutely right. And one of the things that we're suggesting should be in place already, and in some dioceses they are doing, and that can be done under the existing measure, is to have a triage process so that you deal with some of the early complaints in the way that's appropriate to them. Interestingly, one of the things I'm looking at is the church in Australia, the Anglican Church in Australia, that does have a professional standards measure. And the first thing they name is that some people will be vexatious complainants, and therefore something needs to be done about that. It's a great sadness to me that we don't have any such system at the moment in the Church of England.
What kind of timescale can we expect to see in terms of the reframing and replacement process?
Well, that's again where I don't disagree with what Sarah's saying, but I suppose I slightly want to challenge what Sarah's saying. Sadly, I know that the Church of England can sometimes appear from outside perspective to take a very long time to do anything. And because this would be a measure, as we call it, going through our General Synod, my understanding and my advice would be it's going to be about 2 years to go through. And that's why I want to bring some changes under the existing measure that we can. And that's why I want to move forward as quickly as we can. Sadly, because of the pandemic, the consultations we were hoping to have early this year to listen to some of the people that Sarah is bringing to our attention haven't yet been able to happen. And we're going to do those in the autumn. But I very much hope and plan that we will start the process in February, assuming that there is a General Synod that can do that in February next year, and then we'll obviously have to take it through its processes.
And would you accept, finally, Bishop, that whilst that bureaucratic process continues over a year or 2 years, some or many people caught up in this system at present will have their lives slowly broken?
I accept that the system isn't working properly, and I'm very sorry indeed to hear of the cases that the Sheldon Hub is bringing to our attention, and I will certainly continue to do all I can to try and find ways to mitigate these matters while the measure is still in place.
Bishop Tim Thornton.